for Wainsworth Anderson on behalf of Tina Smith. Because there are several factual issues that I believe are still in dispute, we're asking the court to remand this case so a jury could make the decision. First thing, I begin with the dismissal or summary judgment of the assault and battery claims, specifically as to Officer Abedovic. There is an issue as to whether or not Officer Abedovic actually qualified to be a police officer. And that's because the Scantron, which he would have completed for police board exams, that Scantron is missing. And so it's not known whether or not he indeed passed that exam.
What does that matter, though? I mean, the Kansas City police treated him as an officer, and so what does it matter whether or not he passed the exam that they gave to its officers?
Well, I think that would show a pattern that it would allow someone they are not sure of actually pass the exam. It would show a pattern and policy that they really don't care whether or not the officer is indeed ready to be on the streets and addressing citizens, whether or not he's properly trained.
Is there evidence that he didn't take the exam or just evidence that it's missing?
It's not sure whether or not he passed the exam. So that's concerning, because then you wouldn't have the requisite training to be an officer. In addition to that, the qualified immunity that normally apply to a police officer, I don't think that that would apply to him in this case, because then he would be pretty much a member of the normal citizenry that fired a gun or Mr. Smith. So in that case, the...
counsel, under Missouri law, if somebody shoots at you, you can shoot back, right? Yeah, regardless of who you are.
Yes.
So getting off of the qualifications, go to the fact of who shot first.
Well, it's alleged, Officer Bedovic is alleging that Mr. Smith shot at him.
Okay. We're at summary judgment, so what do we have to go on?
Well, the district court concluded that there wasn't facts that contradicted Officer Abedovic's account. However, if we look at the dash cam footage that was, and that footage showed Officer Bedovic actually walking beside Mr. Smith, it doesn't give, the video doesn't account for any of the statements that the officers provided. Can't conclude from the video that their description of events actually happened. And the way they got around that is by simply stating, well, in Mann, the court said the video was too grainy, and so that's applicable in this case. However, if we look at Mann, that video was shot at night. And in this video, we could clearly see Officer Bedovic walking beside Smith. One of the accounts that he gave was that Mr. Smith had a weapon under his left arm pointed at him. And we see no account of that video.
Well, one of the problems I'm having with that, I've watched the video 3, 4, 5 times now, at least, and you can't really see anything, but what you can't, there's a couple things. There's, first of all, you can hear him, the officers repeatedly say, gun, gun, he has a gun. I mean, that must have come up 4, 5, 6 times over the course of 45 seconds of the video. The second thing is you hear two series of shots. You hear an initial shot that sounds different from the 3 successive shots that clearly came from the officer. And so while you can't see the gun, it seems to there doesn't seem to be a genuine issue that somebody else fired, and at least the officers believed he had a gun. In other words, they're not in the heat of the moment. They're not going to make up he has a gun, I don't think, and then shoot him. Maybe that's your argument. I don't know. But what do we do with that, given that we don't really know from the video exactly what happened? But to the extent we do, it looks like your client had a gun.
Well, in that scenario, I would say that's part of the reason why we district court should not conclude that Mr. Smith, in fact, fired at Officer Vidovic, because you can't tell, then maybe a jury should make that decision.
Counsel, what was the record proof as to the actual existence of a gun? Was there a gun found? Were there ballistic tests done on the gun? I don't recall reading any of that kind of information. What is the record on it?
There was a gun that was found on the scene. And there was ballistic testing done. It showed that the gun was operable. However, there was no finger printing done, because it's my understanding that defense counsel handled the weapon, so they're claiming that they couldn't test it for fingerprinting or...
And this gun was found in proximity to the shooting?
Yes.
Was there proof or evidence that it had been fired?
Well, I think they had done some testing on Mr. Smith to see if there was any gunpowder residue. That was done by the Missouri Highway Patrol, and the results that came back seemed to indicate that there wasn't any. The only conclusion that they could come, there was some on his clothes, and they seemed to suggest that that's from him actually being shot, not firing.
Now, the district court doesn't make any findings on those points, right?
On
does the district court mention anything about there being a gun?
I don't believe. There was a conclusion as to whether or not there was an actual weapon. I think the question was whether or not Mr. Smith actually fired at Officer Vidovic, or whether or not he had actually attempted to shoot Officer Krug.
But when you get through the district court's fact, there's nothing right. There's nothing about a gun that could be traced to Mr. Smith, right or not?
Right. It doesn't make any determination about whether or not there is a weapon there.
Well, in the magistrate's order, though, on paragraph 18, and maybe this doesn't quite get you there, it says, while pursuing Mr. Smith, Officer Abidovic, I hope I pronounced that right, saw a gun in his right hand. So there is something linking the gun to Smith, is my understanding.
Yes. I would agree with that, because the affidavits do tend to say that they saw him.
No.
So is it the appellant's position that there was no gun, or that there was a gun, but it was never fired or pointed threateningly at an officer?
I think that the second part would be correct. The position is that it's inconclusive whether or not Smith fired the weapon at Abidovic in the first instance. As we previously discussed, it's difficult to tell from the video, and that's pretty much all we have. With respect to Officer Krueger, he has three separate renditions as to what happened. There is what they call an officer's synopsis, which he gave right after the shooting. Then in his deposition, he seems to suggest that what he said in that synopsis was simply not true. And then after the depositions, then they created an affidavit, which was used as part of the summary judgment. And so that has its own separate set of facts. So we have three different stories from Officer Krueger. From his dash cam footage, we can see him coming down the street, and Smith's back is definitely turned towards him. And before his car comes to a complete stop, starts firing. So his story is that he thought that Officer Vidovic and the other officers were shot and killed. Well, in his affidavit, he seems to tell the story that he was listening to the helicopter pilot and other officers on the ground, and at no point in time did anyone ever say that you know, there was officer down or officer shot. So it's kind of incomprehensible why he would come to that conclusion when none of that was ever broadcast.
I'm going to ask a direct question, and I wonder whether, on summary judgment, remember, we're talking about evidence. We're not talking about the allegations. And so I wonder if it's a problem for your client that there's none of the evidence that maybe the chief had talked about, which is, was it your burden to come forward with evidence that maybe somebody else's fingerprints were on the gun, not your client's? Was it your burden to come forward with evidence that there was no gunshot residue on his hand to show that the gun had never been fired? In other words, is it enough? I'm having trouble concluding that it's enough to simply say, well, the video's not that clear, because you have some affirmative obligation to come forward with proof.
That was not included as part of our answer to the summary judgment, and the hope was that we would have gotten to a trial where we could have presented those reports. And also, in addition to that, we had the statements of the helicopter pilot. Those are witnesses that we called, but the summary judgment, we're pretty much denied the opportunity.
But weaknesses are not enough. The absence of evidence could be fatal to your claim. I mean, it's one thing if your summary judgment motion says they failed to prove an element because there's no evidence from the other side on this particular, or they didn't disprove the, but as a plaintiff, you got to come forward with something and show that, I think, that that there wasn't a gun or something of that nature, or else there's not a genuine issue of material fact.
Well, not as to whether or not there was a gun on the scene, but it's there are still questions as to whether or not Smith actually pointed a weapon at Officer Krueger, for instance, because we know at the time that Officer Krueger shot Smith, the helicopter pilot in his report stated that there was no gunfire from Smith, and he did not say that Smith was pointing a gun. He simply said that, in fact, Officer Krueger was standing outside his patrol car and said that Smith was down. That was about it.
How many times was Smith shot?
I think Officer Krueger shot him five times. And I know that Officer Vidovic fired. And that's also an issue with regard to the wounds, because there are wounds from the back rear of his body, which could suggest that some of the rounds from Officer Krueger probably wasn't on front. So,
the record doesn't reflect the wounds and the entry angle of the wounds, right? At this point, the district court doesn't mention that.
The district court doesn't speak about that, but the complaint mentions the point of impact. And I believe some of the depositions.
Mr. Anderson, you're in your rebuttal. You can continue if you like, or reserve the remainder.
Didn't notice either.
Ms. Peters.
May I please support Diane Peters on behalf of the defendants in this case. I want to address a couple of issues and the appellees, excuse me. There was a gun found on the scene, as was mentioned earlier. And that
Counsel, that's not the district court's record, is it?
It's not in the district
court's
opinion, but it is in the record.
Okay.
It is in the record, and I can point to you in several places where that's in the record.
Okay. Was that in your brief, counsel? I don't believe so, right?
That is not my brief.
You better do a 28J on that, because I was led to the opposite impression between the district court and your briefs. Go ahead.
Okay. So there is in the record on the air tape on Appley 1, which is the air tape dispatch radio, we hear at 9:10 one of the officers say, "We got a gun here also." The paramedic that testified here, and her deposition is at page 98. She got there within about 5 minutes, and she testified that she saw a gun at the scene next to the body in the same location where the officers testified.
And what's your view of the state of the record on any forensics done on that weapon?
There's nothing in the record on ballistics. There's nothing in the record about a shell casing. There's nothing in the record about GSR before the court. And what counsel was referring to earlier, I have no memory of that. I can tell you that there was a shell casing found.
Does the record show that any of that kind of testing was ever done or requested?
Your Honor, not that I recall. I recall and I agree with counsel that the gun that was found that allegedly Mr. Smith had was tested, and it showed that it functioned. There was also a shell casing found that matched that gun that Mr. Smith had, and that shell casing was found near the fence where Mr. Smith was going over. But that's not in the record before you, where the shell casing was found. It's not. None of the testing is in the record before you either. So
when you moved for summary judgment, you didn't mention any of that stuff, huh?
I didn't, and I didn't think that there was a need to, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really straightforward on the audio and the video.
Well, I happen to disagree on the video. It is certainly not.
Well,
it's certainly not indisputable to what occurred.
What is not clear on the video is what Mr. Smith had in his hand.
And isn't that the crucial thing?
That is the crucial thing here. But it's not clear because the video is really grainy and because of the quality of the video. That's the issue here. But if you look at the video and if you look at the audio as a whole, it fits with what the officers have said in their deposition what happened.
What about the differing versions of Officer Obidovich, where there's tells that his facts differ a bit in different recitations?
I think there are not any differences with respect to Officer Obidovich. I think what counsel was referring to.
Kruger. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
And he gave three different versions. He gave a statement to detectives on the day after the shooting. He then gave deposition testimony in this case and then affidavit judgment. The only difference here, and it is not material to this case whatsoever, is when he initially talked to detectives, he told them that when he pulled up in the car with Officer Taylor, that he saw Officers Obidovich and Officer Keller chasing Mr. Smith. In his deposition, he explained that he actually didn't see that. He assumed that that happened based on listening to the audio. He heard that it was a helicopter overhead. He knew there was a foot chase going on, and he assumed that that occurred. Regardless, that's not material to this case, not to the outcome of this case, Your Honor.
Whose responsibility was getting the forensic evidence? That's one of the things I'm struggling with, if there was a responsibility. Was it the plaintiff's responsibility because they had to prove their case? Was it the defense's responsibility because the video was grainy and we couldn't tell, you know, who had the gun and where and when? Whose responsibility was it in your view?
In my view, it's the plaintiff's responsibility here. If that, in fact, is what he wanted, he could have simply asked for it. He had whatever was in the file he had. If he wanted any additional information, he certainly could have asked for it. In our view, in the defendant's view, we had sufficient evidence to prove our case. And that was it, the audio and the video and the officer's statement to conclusively show that the use of force here was reasonable. I wanted to go back, if I may, Judge, to the issue of Officer Obidovich's license. I do want to mention that and refer you to page 146, which is Officer Obidovich's deposition testimony in the record. There is no evidence that he didn't pass a test or that he didn't take a test. The only evidence in the record is a question, a leading question in his deposition that asked him, and I'm paraphrasing, from page 146.
If you have it in front of you, don't paraphrase. If you don't have it, don't beat your brains out. Go ahead.
Okay. Are you aware that you didn't pass the test? And the officer's response was, I don't know what you're talking about. I was told that I passed the test. I've been a police officer for X number of years. And that was...
No yes in there anywhere? Or
there's no yes in there anywhere.
No partly? Or no.
There's no partly.
Okay, thank
it's
you.
It's pure
Proceed.
Speculation. And I want to talk just briefly about, refer to what it sounded like counsel is conceding the fact that there was a gun on the scene now, is what I believe that I heard him saying a few minutes ago. And if that's the case, I just wanted to point out that the witness statements that he's referring to, which are hearsay, are irrelevant now.
Irrelevant, I notice the district court uses that word. Irrelevant's not quite right, correct? Relevance is pretty broad.
That is broad.
Okay, so do better.
Your Honor,
you think they're immaterial or something? What do you think they really are?
Well, first of all, they're hearsay. They're hearsay. All of them are hearsay. One of them is double hearsay. And the fourth one...
Well, of course, now, all that the defending party has to do to point to evidence in the record, they're pointing to statements these people made to public officials. Are you sure that you can so easily say they're hearsay?
Yes, I think so, Your Honor. It's hearsay under Rule 56, and it was the plaintiff's burden to show some exception to the hearsay rule.
Yeah, but, Payance Counsel, we have cases that say the question at summary judgment is not whether it is admissible right then, whether it could be presented at trial in admissible form. Gannon International, we got a couple others.
Your Honor, I think...
So I'm saying you need to halfway face them.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
You need to halfway face the witness statements. Do you want to discuss the witness statements? I'll ask it that way.
I don't think they're even material at this point,
okay,
given that what counsel said earlier.
Thank you.
I don't believe I have anything further. If there are any questions, Barb.
Okay. What is your position? The state's position, defending the police, the defendant's position. What is your position on who shot first?
It's. The state's position that Mr. Smith shot first. And I'll refer back to
okay.
That.
Okay. And what do you piece together to say that?
It's on the patrol car video. It's officers Bidovic and Keller's patrol car video. You can hear a single gunshot. And you cannot see where that gunshot's coming from. But directly before you hear that gunshot, you do see Mr. Smith running through that parking lot. And you see him going over towards the fence, and then you hear that single gunshot, and then you do see Officer Abitovic fire his gun and hear him fire his gun three times in the direction where Mr. Smith was.
How do you know the first one is not the same as the last three?
Well, it sounds differently. The timing is differently, and, Your Honor, there's no evidence that there was anyone in that parking lot other than Mr. Smith and the two police officers, Officer Abitovic and Officer Keller. And we can see Officer Abitovic, and we know that it wasn't him that shot that first shot. We do not see him discharge his firearm when that first shot goes off. What we see him do, and I think this is really important, we see him duck down and try to take cover, and then he moves behind a garage there, indicating that he had been shot at. So,
thank you.
Does Kansas City have a municipal policy against the use of excessive force?
Yes, Your Honor, there is a policy. It's not in the record here, but...
What does that policy provide as to the use of deadly force?
The policy mirrors Graham v. Connor. If the officer believes he's in reasonable fear his life or someone else's life, he's or she is allowed to use deadly force.
So what's Krueger's position, or what are the facts that he states that indicate immediate danger to himself or to someone else?
Very simple, Judge Smith. He pulls up his vehicle, and in about 3 seconds, he sees deceased standing at a fence with a gun in his hand, and the decedent raises the gun up in his direction, and Officer Krueger responds by firing 5 times. And he stops firing when he sees Mr. Smith starting to fall back. And that's his testimony.
On the number of times that he was shot, opposing counsel, I think, mentioned 5 times that there were, you know, that's the number of times that Smith was hit. I didn't find that in the record. I did find the total, I believe, of 8 shots fired, but I didn't find the number of times he was hit and which ones, whether it was the initial 3 or the later 5 or whatever. Is there anything in the record that you can point me to, or is it just completely unclear?
That's not in the record.
Okay.
How many times he actually was shot is not in the record.
It says shot at him 5 times.
Yes. Officer Krueger shot at him.
Shot at Smith 5 times is the district court's finding. And that's the end of the finding, right? That's the entirety of the finding.
Correct. And I would add that Officer Bidovic shot at him 3 times.
Right.
So a total of 8, but there's nothing in the record how many times he struck.
And is there anything to indicate which officer's bullets actually struck Smith?
Not directly, Your Honor, but certainly indirectly. I mean, Officer Bidovic shot at him 3 times and he continued running, and that's certainly undisputed. And then Officer Krueger shoots at him 5 times and he falls back and dies right there at the fence. So indirectly, it would be that it was Officer Krueger, at least, that struck him. So if there's nothing further, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms. Peters. Mr. Anderson, I'll give you a full minute to respond.
Briefly, following Mr. Smith's, the killing of Mr. Smith, the police department did enact a policy, de-escalation policy. And in fact, Officer Krueger, in deposition, testified that he had gone program. With regards to the weapon, again, we were going to test the weapon for DNA and fingerprinting, but we were told that counsel had handled the weapon, so it wouldn't make much difference as far as the results were concerned, because they have all the evidence from the case. So there's also a chain of custody issue.
Did they really have an open file policy with you? She implied there's an open file policy where you can look at everything they got, these statements and this stuff.
If they did, I the honest truth is I wasn't aware. I will admit that I did see the forensic reports.
Yeah.
They were provided. That's how I knew that they were finding the gunpowder.
Right. It sounds to me, though, that your proper recourse might have been like a spoliation motion of some sorts, which is to say that we really wanted to test this, but the evidence was spoiled, and we couldn't test it because they had not used proper procedures in terms of, I mean, based on what you're describing.
That's correct, Judge, and I think what I rest all the marbles on was that we were going to be able to make the case to a jury, in fact, ask counsel to testify that is a fact. Also, indeed, the fact that she mentioned that the Scantron, as far as Mr. Biedemann, was completely missing, and they could not verify what officer should be.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Court wishes to thank both counsel for coming today and providing argument to the court to help us with understanding the legal issues in this matter. We will take the case under advisement, render a decision in due course. Thank you.